The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You guys are listening to the High Spot Podcast. I'm your host of hosts, the trendsetter, Brian Perga. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. My tag team partner and one half of the Jersey Rank crew is missing in action. He's being a scoundrel, but hopefully he'll be back and on his best behavior next week. Guys, got a great show for you lined up, as we always do. We've got Future Legend in the house. He is the CEO of Future Legend Apparel. You guys can also see their amazing merchandise. And guys, I do recommend checking it out. It is amazing merchandise. It's like the stuff you wear. It never gets old. It's always in style, and more importantly, you can wear it anywhere. So guys, definitely check it out, the website, futurelegend.com. You guys can also follow them on all their social media, Twitter, one Future Legend, the number one Future Legend, and on their Instagram account, Future Legend Apparel. It is a New York City-based company. Guys, it is authentic. It is good. You're going to look good when you check this out, and you're going to be going to that website and be like, just take my money, because it's that good. It looks that amazing, and I can't wait to get a little part of it myself in terms of starting wearing some of that gear too and rocking it, because I would not be the trendsetter if I did not rock the style, right? Talking about NXT, AEW, their show leading up to Full Gear, which will be their pay-per-view event in Baltimore, Maryland, main event being Cody Rhodes, or in this case, Cody, facing the AEW champion Chris Jericho. Great storyline built up to that. We'll talk about that in a little bit too. Also, we talk about a little bit Saudi Arabia crown jewel. I kind of give my little take on the event, and basically we all know the history has been going on now with the whole scenario between Saudi Arabia and the WWE. So we'll get into that in a little bit, but let's go back real quick, and before we go into anything, make sure you also follow us on everything we do for the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at High Spot Podcast. Our shenanigans can also be on our website as well, highspotpodcast.com. And guys, don't forget, you can listen to the show also on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeart. We're also part of bodyslams.net. Our podcast is available there as well. And also available where all great podcasts are accessible to you guys, because that's the important thing. We want to be accessible to the masses, to you guys, the crew, and that's what we try to do. And so, you know, it's amazing that as busy as Jeff and I have been, we always try our hardest to make sure we're seeing enough content, meaning we're seeing a little bit of everything. We don't want to be just, for example, watching just AEW and neglecting WWE, vice versa, or, you know, the new flavors, they call it, and you're like, you're just looking at all this type of stuff and not really keeping in touch with everything that you need to be kept in touch with. Both are busy schedules. It's always very difficult to see at the same time. Luckily, on Wednesday, we were able to see at the same time, Jeff and I, and really kind of go back and forth. And it made me relive my youth, I guess, if I'm dating myself and not making myself feel or be like an old man. But really reliving back the fact that when Jeff and I used to watch the Monday Night Wars, even before they were even called that, it was basically just WWE or WWF at the time and WCW. So flipping back and forth between Raw and Nitro was really exciting. And I had that same feeling when we went to go see AEW Dynamite and NXT. It was that same type of feeling, because I think both shows are very uniquely different from themselves. But the one thing they have in common is basically at the end of the show for both NXT and Dynamite. Now, granted, it was the go-home show for Dynamite leading into the pay-per-view on Saturday. NXT was just kind of another show, course building towards Survivor Series, but Survivor Series is still a ways away right now. What was so amazing about the whole scenario was that for the first time that I can remember in a really long time, and it's been a long time, guys, I'm not trying to be a bitter old man here, but for the first time when I saw the end and conclusion of NXT, it left me thinking, wow, I kind of want to watch next week now, because I don't know what's going on. And basically, a storyline that I've been interested in has been the return of Finn Balor. And this new Finn Balor, or the way he says it, the old Finn Balor, the old Prince Devitt, as I call him, because he said it himself, the prince is back. And this is kind of the character persona that I've been wanting to see ever since he stepped foot in the doors of WWE/NXT. Did we get glimpses of it? Yeah, but I think for the most part, I've mentioned this to Jeff too, that he's been so much of a cookie cutter babyface that he lost a lot of, in my opinion, his allure of what he was when he was in New Japan, for example, and then came over and like, wow, we're going to get this guy. He's going to be innovative. He's going to revolutionize the industry. And I don't think as much as he would claim he had a lot of freedoms in terms of creativity. Again, it goes through one person. It all gets filtered. And it's not quite the same thing that we see all the time. This newer version of Finn is definitely more intriguing. It's got me more excited to see what he's going to do next, because that's the big question. Is it not? You tell me. What's he going to do next? At the conclusion of the NXT show on Wednesday, basically had a six-man tag team match. The first time in history the OC, AJ Styles, Gallows, and Anderson were on NXT television. They were in an NXT ring. Pretty exciting, facing off against Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, and Matt Riddle. Great tag team match. You know, most people are say what you want to say about main event tag team matches, but this one was really good. Showcases everyone's talent. Everyone looked good. But towards the end, you know, you had Tommaso Ciampa and AJ Styles, and then, you know, Finn Balor attacking Tommaso Ciampa, you know, after he had viciously beat his best friend, Johnny Gargano, the week before, or 2 weeks before. And then all of a sudden, AJ Styles kind of staring at Finn Balor with a little grin, both of them grinning at each other. And you see AJ put up the Too Sweet sign, and, you know, Finn Balor reciprocating, not putting the Too Sweet sign, but putting the signs of the gun at him. And you're thinking, wow, this is kind of what they've been teasing for God knows how long since AJ's been in the WWE. We've had Gallows and Anderson's been the teasing, will these four come together? And then Adam Cole, baby, as they call him, attacks AJ, super kicks him in the face, as well as he does Tommaso Ciampa, and then he stares and smiles at Finn as he smiles back at him. So it's kind of weird to see why these two would be smiling at each other, but also gives you the question, is Finn Balor going to join the OC, or is there a possibility he might join Undisputed Era? In my personal opinion, guys, as exciting as that would be, and that's probably what everybody's kind of concerning themselves with in terms of what might happen, I don't think it's the best thing for Finn right now, because for the first time in a while, we've been excited to see Finn Balor as a solo performance. Now, he's been that way since he started, but I think this newer version of him, or the old version as he calls it, would only benefit more of just being by himself. You know, for him to be part of a group again would feel like they're just kind of recycling. And I know with professional wrestling, that happens a lot. You recycle a lot of ideas or a lot of things that have been done elsewhere, and you bring it here and give it like a new, you know, new coat of paint. And, oh, it's brand new because it's now under the, you know, whatever company umbrella that you're under. I don't think it's going to be beneficial for Finn to join a group right now, because to me, he's a solo performer. He is a star in himself, and by him joining a group, it kind of deludes him. Yeah, he could be the leader of the group and vice versa, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I don't think he needs that at this point in his career right now. So that's my opinion. We'll see as the weeks go by. But again, it left you begging the question, what's going to happen as the weeks unfold? Because right now, with whole Survivor Series going on, you have for the first time ever now, as they said, you know, Raw versus SmackDown was always usually the scenario. But now it's Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT. And we saw that from the invasion that happened a couple weeks ago, and Triple H saying they fired the first shot. Pretty interesting, I have to say. I've been intrigued. But what I'm more interested in, as I'm sure a lot of people are too, is like how they're going to decipher this. Because you have the stars of NXT now. They're not on the network anymore. I mean, they are, but you know, they're on USA Network. So their audience span is growing substantially every single week they put on shows. So more general people will kind of understand who they are or be interested in who they are, unless they were just watching on the network, where, you know, even Triple H himself said that's more for an isolated type of group of audience, which it still is. But now you have the ability of more people being able to watch it who haven't seen wrestling before or haven't seen NXT. So it opens up a whole new set of doors for them. So it's intriguing to see what's going to happen here because, you know, first thing that pops in my head is, oh, please don't bury the young talent. Or in this case, don't bury the NXT superstars. You know, let's be honest, they're not very young. These are a lot of seasoned veterans in there that have, you know, been brought into the quote unquote developmental system, which I guess you can't call it anymore. But it's a new look. It's a new time for them. So they've been established, just not on this stage, I guess. So that's always going to be the interesting thing, how they're going to decipher the wins and losses. We'll see as it goes, but some pretty interesting matchups as we'll talk closer to Survivor Series. And so it's so funny, too, that last week I got my... No, it's not last week. It was this week. I got my email for WrestleMania packages in Tampa, Florida. I was like, my God, we're almost already there. Survivor Series, in my opinion, you know, most people will say it's the Royal Rumble, is to start WrestleMania season. To me, it's Survivor Series. It really is, because, like, my goodness, like, we're already here at Survivor Series, and before you know it, it's going to be the Royal Rumble. How crazy is that? Time certainly flies by. But that leads to a great segue in terms of time flying by, because, you know, it's hard to imagine that AEW and Dynamite is, like, still fairly new, but has that feeling like it's been around for a while. And I can't really explain it. I spoke to this about Jeff, and Jeff kind of mentioned this to me when he was listening to the commentating, and, you know, we were preoccupied doing other stuff sometimes, so we weren't watching, but we're hearing and listening to it. And when you hear JR and Tony Schiavone talk, you're thinking, am I listening to WCW again? Like, how crazy is this? It has that feel behind it. And, you know, great performances, great shows. The roster is really doing a good job of trying to establish themselves in terms of, you know, the company is doing a great job of the newer talent of trying to establish them as characters so that you, as the audience, quote-unquote fans, can be invested in them. I think they're doing a great job. But the one thing that people wanted to know and see was what was going to happen with Cody. You know, Cody has now been pinned in this rivalry with Chris Jericho, and it's gotten pretty personal. It's gotten physical, too, but mostly personal because of Jericho and him attacking Cody and saying he's a spoiled millennial. He's got a silver spoon in his mouth, as I'm sure, you know, Cody would be objected to saying that because, you know, he didn't have it easy, especially being, you know, the son of one of the most famous wrestlers out there, Dusty Rhodes. You know, there's a lot of pressure on there. And when you're Cody, he had a huge announcement to make and they kept kind of putting it off every single week. And the big announcement was kind of what I thought was going to happen because, you know, he goes on a speech talking about his father, but also talking about other great wrestlers down the line that have kind of paved the way. But in the same token, as amazing as they were, including his father in the ring, they're also part of management, which now Cody, through no fault of his own, it wasn't like he was looking for this, but has now found himself in the same scenario. He is a performer / executive for AEW. So with that said, Cody, it kind of sounded like he didn't want to follow in those same footsteps. So he made it perfectly clear. And I thought this was a great way of not only making you more intrigued, but raising the stakes now of what's going to happen. Cody basically said that, you know, if he loses this match against Chris Jericho at Full Gear, he'll never again compete or challenge for the AEW championship. So it makes you wonder now what's going to happen here because you look at the established champion in Chris Jericho and what he's done. I think he's done an amazing job. And now Cody, who is in a way the face of AEW right now, along with the Bucks and Kenny Omega as their executive vice presidents. What's going to happen here? Because if Cody loses now, he can never compete for the AEW championship. Great twist there. I think it's great, a great way of making it more believable, more real, in the sense that, you know, he's taking a lot of this from personal experience. He doesn't want to be like what his father and all these greats were. He doesn't want to be an executive because it'd always be a mark in his career where he's like, you know what? The only reason why he got a title shot is because, you know, he's running the show type of thing. He doesn't want that. And that's I think it's very admirable of him to do that. But also what was really cool was this promo. If you guys haven't watched it, I definitely recommend you watch it. I got emotional hearing it and listening to it. But it's amazing that when, I'm not going to talk about the promo, but just, I mean, you guys can see yourself on YouTube or catch it on the replays on TNT. But it was so good that it started me thinking, and I mentioned this to Jeff too. It's like, it's the thing with Cody is that we've seen him grow up before our very eyes from the very early starts where the first time I saw Cody, he was inducting his father along with his brother, Dustin Reynolds. They were inducting their father into the WWE Hall of Fame. He just had like an aura of presence about him where like he was so articulate and every word he said had meaning behind it. I can't really emphasize it into words because I'm bad at that anyway. But he just had that kind of it factor. Lo and behold, he was going to be a wrestler. It was already written in the cards. He was going to dive into that type of field and that type of industry. So really cool. And now to the point where we see him pay his dues in WWE, establish himself as a name, then get to the point where he was Stardust. I mean, he had these ups and downs in his career in WWE, but then he was Stardust. And then for him saying, no more, I'm not doing this, taking a chance on himself and really betting on himself, leaving WWE, saying, no, you're not going to fire me, I fire you guys, is what he said. Well, that's how he felt, not something he physically said or literally said. And then betting on himself, going on the indies, doing all these indie shows, and then developing some type of stability with the Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, making even a bigger name for himself to where he is now, where he goes about talking about all the time, you hear him say, go from being undesirable to now undeniable. And now it's true. It's undeniably certain now that Cody Rhodes is a star. Some could argue that if they want to, but it's not, you cannot argue with the fact that he's grown up into a man now. Cody Rhodes, or in this case, as we call him, Cody, knows who he is as a person. You can see it from the way he carries himself, how he delivers his promos. 14 years in this industry. He is now a man, and he knows what he's about. And again, it's going to be a great storyline, talking about Full Gear, the main event, Chris Jericho versus Cody for the AEW Championship. You got Kenny, Jon Moxley in a non-sanctioned match. You got the Bucks against Santana and Ortiz. And that's just to name a few. You got Hangman Page against Pac, that bastard. Great card from top to bottom, and you're obviously going to have other matches in there too, positioned to obviously highlight the other talents too, which is what you want to do. And so great, great lookout for Full Gear in terms of what you want to expect and what you hope to expect for them. You know, I'm not going to say it's going to be a home run because you can never predict that, but in terms of anticipation and looking forward to it, I am definitely looking forward to this event. I haven't said that in a while, but I am definitely looking forward to this one, so it's going to be really cool. So little walk down memory lane because it just had that feeling, guys. And I don't know if a lot of the people that listen to the show can remember the Monday Night Wars, and hopefully you can, but it was a special time, and this feels like a special time too. And what's better than all that is that we, as the fans, We enjoy the spoils because, you know, we don't have to choose. We don't have to record on VHS and then rewind it and listen back. It is all over the place. It's all over the internet. And we have the luxury now of enjoying not only AEW and WWE, but Impact. It's going to be an access now. You know, we can enjoy. Oh, and by the way, congratulations to Sami Callihan becoming the Impact heavyweight champion. Congratulations to him. Well deserved. About time, because he is the draw. And now he is the champ. So congratulations goes out to Sammy too. And just a great time being a wrestling fan, man. All over the world, there's an ability to watch it. And we just get to sit back, guys, and just enjoy it. Speaking of enjoying, I also want to enjoy this interview. Enough of me rambling on, guys. Really looking forward to having this guest. And thanks to Future Legend for coming on, guys. He discusses a lot of things, a lot of topics, but more importantly, what you always talk about is passion and love for what he does, and you'll hear it right now in the interview. So without further ado, guys, we have Future Legend here on the High Spot Podcast.
All right, Trendsetter, we always have interesting guests, and joining us right now, he is the CEO of Future Legend Apparel. He is Future Legend himself. What's going on, man? How you doing? Thanks for coming on the High Spot Podcast.
Good, guys. Thanks for having me. Come on.
We recently interviewed Marty Elias. He was on. He told us his story and everything like that. And there's like a backstory. You guys are actually good friends. Can you talk about that relationship?
Yeah, Marty's actually a really good guy. Marty helped me a lot with getting my brand out to a lot of big names in wrestling, putting in a good word for me with guys like Rey Mysterio, Chris Jericho, a bunch of other people. But Marty's a great guy. I mean, I can't say enough good things about Marty. He's a really, really good guy, man. And a guy gave you a shirt off his back.
There's no doubt about that. How did you become associated with Marty? Where did you guys meet? At a wrestling event? Did you guys meet at a concert or something like that? Where was the first initial meeting between the two of you?
Believe it or not, a lot of the people I've met, I've been so blessed since I took over running the social media Instagram account from the people that I had doing it for me. So I met Marty actually on Instagram here. He messaged us, wanted some apparel, and of course we met up in Vegas at the Expo Lucha I did last year with Kevin from Mass Republic. But yeah, that's how we met. We met on, believe it or not, on social media, but we speak now via phone and text. But we stay in touch. Marty's a really, really solid dude.
Were you a wrestling fan growing up? Are you one right now? What is your relationship with the wrestling, like, as far as like personally wise?
Well, growing up, I mean, I definitely was a fan watching as a kid, and then, you know, when you start to become a teen and get out there and start driving and dating and this and that, you know, you kind of fall out of that. I mean, most people I know. And then all of a sudden you hit your 30s and then boom, you're back into it. So, but yeah, I mean, I was always a fan growing up watching it. I still watch it today. I mean, definitely, you know, now with WWE and AEW and, you know, Ring of Honor and a bunch of different other outlets to watch it and indie shows. So it's a really good time to be a wrestling fan. A lot of good stuff going on. And there hasn't been something like this in the air for wrestling fans since the old WCW and Monday Night Raw War. So it's a really good time to be a fan.
Definitely a good time to be a fan. Definitely a great time to be a performer too. But how lucky are we as fans? I mean, we look back and, you know, dating ourselves, that I speak to Jeff about, like, what a great era to be around in, the whole WCW versus WWE, the Monday Night Wars before it was ever called Monday Night Wars. Just a great time to go back and forth and watch your favorite performers and then to see them on, you know, WWE programming or WCW programming, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this. That feeling of excitement behind it. And now, like you mentioned, the promotions like AEW, for example, there are things like Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, things like that, MLW. From your perspective, though, I mean, and separating this also from your own company standpoint too, how crucial right now, how important nowadays, without, you know, going further, and it's kind of self-explanatory too now, is social media. What a powerful tool it is now, because back then, Jeff and I were trading VHS tapes with other people because that's the only way you could see stuff nowadays. Now you can catch things on stream, you can catch things on YouTube. I mean, it's just an endless source of content out there, but more importantly, for performers and for businessmen like yourself, the ability to promote yourself now. You don't need an advertising company. If you're just good on social media, if you're good on Instagram and Twitter, you got you can get a huge following and people looking at your product and content. How impactful has social media been in your terms of your business, but also when you look at pro wrestling?
Social media has definitely been a tremendous help for me and my company. Like I said, I usually never really did social media. I had my own Twitter, but Instagram I started doing myself after I was getting some people that I met after the fact. Well, they tried to reach out to the brand and they weren't getting responded to because our inbox would be flooded. And you know, the person we had running the account wouldn't answer everybody in a prompt fashion. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, having that now, the ability to message somebody where even the old days of Twitter, where like I would have to follow you and you'd have to follow me in order for you to send or see a DM. Now with social media, you can pretty much contact all these people. It's just a great outlet to meet people, advertise, and then as a fan, if you wanted to message somebody like your childhood idol, you can send them a message, you know. And for the most part, most of the guys and girls out there, they respond to their fans very well. So I mean, it's just like it's a really amazing tool now, social media, if it's used well.
Yeah, and their social media is at One Future Legend, and you can go on their website, futurelegend.com, and on Instagram, it's Future Legend Apparel. I'm checking it out while you're talking about it. Some great stuff on here. When did you decide that? Well, first of all, let's go back. Give us a backstory about the company, because now it's kind of transformed into, like, you know, MMA guys are using it, wrestlers are using it, very recognizable wrestlers, albeit that as well. Just give us a little backstory about the company.
I actually, Future Legend didn't launch out as its own brand until 2012. It fell under the old charity-based umbrella company I had, which was called the UGC. So that was a charity-based company I started for one of my good friends who was murdered back in 2001. And unfortunately, till today, his murder case is cold and unsolved. So I kind of feel like... all the charity work I did to keep my friend Corey alive over the years, he kind of blessed me with the gift of giving me Future Legend where I can run with it. And, you know, as I said, it's an outlet to keep him alive. I still do a ton of charity work in his name. And that's basically how I started the company. It was basically homage to Brooklyn Tees called the Underground Clown. And Future Legend was this one T-shirt, distress font tee that I put out there. And I didn't think it was going to just kind of take off the way it did. And, you know, prior to us doing wrestling, we were really big in Bellator MMA, probably as big as Tap Out was in UFC. I'm going to say about 5-6 years ago, we had a good 3-year run. As far as wrestling goes, you know, we got kind of blessed with Bobby Lashley, who also fought in Bellator MMA, and small world, Bobby's cousin Craig is actually a dear friend of mine, also a dear friend of my friend Corey, who was killed. So it's just a small world. Bobby started wearing our stuff because he liked it in both Bellator and then Impact, and then it just kind of spread like wildfire through the Impact guys, WWE, and so on and so forth. So we've been truly blessed. I mean, we didn't intentionally start out to be a MMA or wrestling brand, but you know, we got lucky and super blessed with the amount of people now who are wearing it and the amount of people who want to wear it and rally behind it once they hear the story and they know why I started the company and what I do in the back, you know, behind the scenes, I should say.
It's a very eye-popping logo. It's very, like, you know, you kind of get drawn to it. You know, obviously the logo is everything for the brand. Just talk a little just, you know, obviously you're New York based. Just talk a little bit about, like, the logo and everything like that. Like, what made you decide to use that, or was there any, you know, backstory to that?
Well, the distress font logo, it's kind of like, you know, you're making a bold statement by saying you're going to be a future legend, but you're not quite there yet. That's why I chose to use the distress font, because it's almost like it's breaking through. You know where you're going to be in the future, but right now you're kind of breaking the surface. And as far as the Shield logo, it's almost like Superman-esque, you know?
So yeah.
It's almost like when you're a kid and you have that S on your chest, you kind of feel invincible. So it's kind of the feel I wanted to get from my brand to inspire the young athletes to have that feel, not only like when you're an 8-year-old kid wearing a Halloween costume, but, you know, when you're a teen in 20s and 30s, you know, and you're trying to burst out and be that next legendary athlete or whatever you choose to be. So that's really the inspiration I got behind the crisp and the stress font logo, and why I chose to do not a logo, both the font and Shield in that fashion.
Yeah, no, obviously when you do create a company, obviously the logo, the, you know, is everything, and it represents who you are, and basically, you know, it's got the, also that New York City graffiti kind of look to it. And, you know, when I think of, like, New York City wrestling and the tri-state area wrestling, there's a lot of places where you can go and get your fix. I know I got friends from the South, from the Midwest, that, you know, like, oh, they're craving for wrestling. And here on the East Coast, we have almost everywhere accessible. But just how important is New York City wrestling and the future of it in Brooklyn, in the Bronx, in New Jersey? Just how important is that?
Well, I mean, we're blessed being from New York, as you know, I mean, we have, you can go see Evolve this Thursday night. There's Outlaw that Bull James runs, and Capital Wrestling on Hoboken. There's a whole bunch of them. In New York area, then you have like the young up and comers like who make a name for themselves and giving back and keeping wrestling alive. Guys like Santana and Ortiz. Santana actually has a school up in the Bronx. Where, you know, and speaking to Mike, you know, he was always a wrestling fan as a kid, and now he has the ability to be on a major platform like AEW, but also finds time to go back to his hood and start a wrestling school and give back and teach the next wave of future stars to go chase their dream. And, you know, and not only that, but wrestling, it's so fun for them that they get to actually live out that character. And, I mean, I don't know, for me, you know, it's pretty dope and surreal to see the growth of it, especially out here in New York, and so many more guys locally coming up the ranks, guys like the Mike Verners, and like I said, Santana, Ortiz, a bunch of homegrown talent, the Casey Navarros, and all these young kids coming up, kind of making names for themselves. And it gives the kids who want to come up hope that they could be the next one too, because they're seeing guys from our neighborhood coming up the ranks, you know. So it's a pretty dope time to be involved in wrestling, be a fan, and or if you're aspiring to be a next superstar, you know, to see these people actually out there and doing it. So it's pretty amazing for them right now.
What drove you into wrestling in the first place? I mean, you said you kind of watched as a kid. Do you remember what the first match or the first thing you saw that was related to wrestling that kind of got you hooked early on as a kid?
I remember, like, you know, it used to come out a little later, so when you're a kid, you're not really allowed to stay up that late, sneaking out and watching it. And, like, of course, everybody, like, I'm going to beat myself, but going back, who could not say, like, Hulk Hogan wasn't the man, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, for me, seeing Hulk Hogan, like, and then the NWO thing, that drew me in. DX, I mean, I can't think of anybody who's not in their 30s that didn't do the suck it thing, you know, like, and now, like, all these years later, like, I'm actually good friends with Billy and Paula and all the great people, but I mean, like, it's so surreal now, all these years later, like, dudes that I watched as a kid coming up, actually sit down, converse, I've been with them, speak to them, it's pretty dope. But yeah, going back to the thing, I mean, like, I remember Hogan drawing us in as a kid. Who could not, like, love the Hulk Hogan Iron Sheik era, you know, like, at least for me, growing up as a kid, that was amazing.
Yeah, definitely. By the sound of your voice, Jeff, he was a Hulkamaniac.
Listen, man, I am, like, while you're asking the questions, I'm looking at the Instagram. Like, you got Jericho's wearing it. You had Austin Theory and Flip Gordon wearing his stuff. You got John Hennigan's wearing it. You got Selena De La Renta's wearing it. I mean, dude, you are all over the place, man. Can I have one of everything, please?
Not a problem. That's not a problem.
What's your most popular, I guess, what's your best seller right now?
You know, I mean, it's probably not the most PG shirt, but the Fuck Failure shirt was one of the biggest ones. Like, I don't think I'll ever not stop making that one, because it always does well, extremely well.
Obviously.
I mean, our classic core logo, but that one, like, everybody that I know will, like, they're like, yeah, I got to get that shirt. Send me that one. I got you. That's one of our more popular ones.
What is new for the, do you guys, because I'm getting into this Future Legend. I've seen it everywhere, and I've done my research here, and I just want to know, do you guys have a winter line? Is there anything that you're, that's really pushing for the winter of 2019?
Well, I'm not really a standardized clothing brand where they do, like, winter, spring, mm-hmm. summer, fall collections. I never believed in that stuff, because I think that if you produce stuff every 3 or 4 months, I mean, you produce it a year ahead of time, so trends kind of change within that year. And not only that, but I just think, like, for my brand and what I want to do, you kind of fall out of relevancy if you're not making monthly drops. So that's what I like to do. I mean, I don't really, you know, do the seasonal thing or the every other month. I like to do monthly drops. But I have a windbreaker now. Now, actually, our designer, Kevin Leon, just had that built. We're doing a couple of new, our new tees came out. We have always every month we're in production. So beanies are coming out, new snapbacks are coming out. So there's a ton of stuff in the works. And, you know, not knocking anybody else's hustle, but I don't do, like, I'm not a print shop. I don't just...
You just don't make a quote and then just put it out there, right?
Yeah, that's not what I do. Like, we actually have line meetings, revision meetings, graphic art meetings. We look over everything. I try to sit in on every single one of them. And then strike off samples, make sure the fabric's good. And we're always, always getting compliment on the fit. I don't want a boxy shirt where it's a little too heavy of a gauge. I want it form-fitted. I'm very hands-on with my brand. As I said, it's not only a brand for myself, but it represents one of my friends who's no longer here. So got to keep my promise to him and kind of keep stuff proper to what I promised him I would do. So,
all right, Future, I'm glad I have you on, Future, because I've always wanted to ask, because Pro Wrestling Tees is very popular with their, you know, like they're printing up shirts like crazy, right? You think of a suggestion, boom, it's out there the next day, right? WWE has some amazing shirts, right? Why the hell don't they have soft tees? Like, your shirts look comfortable. Why are WWE shirts so freaking, like, feel like you're wearing a beach towel? Like, what is that? Like, can you tell me? Is it just because it's cheaper than the material, whatever like that? Because if that, like, a soft style kind of thing, you know, I'm pretty sure people would choose that. But, like what for you makes it, like, oh, this is a nice feeling shirt? Like,
Okay, Jeff. It's okay.
I'm sorry, man.
He's really heated about this.
But what do you think makes a good stylish shirt? Do you like the softer style? Is that what people are asking you more, and is it in demand?
Well, think about it. Like, as far as the bigger companies, if WWE puts something out there, their fans are going to buy it, whether it's great quality or it's subpar quality. So, and also, as you said, let's say all of a sudden they sign a wrestler from another organization, he comes over, they need to produce something quickly. Mm-hmm. They're not going to sit there and do what I do and go into revisions and this and that and strike off samples. So they need to do it quickly. So, and it's also mass produced for them. For me, I like to have a quality product for several reasons. People work hard for their money. They're going to spend $30-$35 on a t-shirt with shipping. It should last more than one wash. Or if they wear, let's say, an XL, they don't want to wash it and then have to give it to their girlfriend, you know, like when it shrinks and it looks like shit, you know, like or wash their car with it. I don't want to do stuff like that. I want people to buy my t-shirt, be able to wear it, be able to say, yo, I still got that shirt from 2 years ago and it still looks good. It still fits me right. So, and not only that, but if you want your brand to be, you know, where people are going to wear it, and not just because, you know, they're doing you a favor, they're going to hold it and take a picture for Instagram. You want them to actually wear it and live the lifestyle, live the brand, you know, feel it. It's got to be a good quality item. You can't give, you know, I mean, like, there's certain people I know that wear it, Jose Reyes from the Mets, when Jose is wearing it, you can't give Jose Reyes or, you know, one of the guys like that or Rey Mysterio a t-shirt that, you know, honestly, I don't know how to else to say it, but it feels like shit, you know. It's a heavy gauge, you know.
That's how you would say it. Perfect, Future. That's how you would say it.
So, I mean, anyway, that's my thought on it. You know, I want to put out a quality product, and like I said, that's what keeps people coming back. They're spending their money, they want something that's a good quality product. And also, like I said, when athletes are wearing it, they don't really want to wear garbage.
No, of course they wouldn't. Why would they? They want, like you're saying, you're promoting and you're trying to produce quality out there. So, you know, if say an athlete or a wrestler or somebody of any terms of popularity out there would want to wear your merchandise, they want to make sure, one, they like it, two, it looks good on them, and three, the quality is really nice too. And it's not going to, you know, shrink in the dryer when they wash it up. Or like you said, you know, the girlfriend will wash their car with a t-shirt, so you want good quality. Exactly. Definitely understandable. When it comes to, like I said, you've talked about where you started with the wrestling, you talked about, you know, where you've gone within this company. any, I mean, most individuals that I talk to about things like this, they're really just focused on, you know, the current. They, of course, are always looking towards the future, always looking towards what's the next thing. I mean, you just mentioned a few minutes ago, too, in terms of, you know, you're not somebody who just prints up shirts. You kind of want to be consistent with it and come out each month with something new and innovative and something that's very creative. So I guess a twofold question here, too, in terms of when it comes to designing and coming up with ideas, does it ever come to the point where you draw blanks, or is it just that creativity always flows with you in terms of what looks good or what you can kind of pinpoint the mood of what will sell at that time? Does it come naturally to you? And secondly, when it comes to doing something like this, I mean, what are the steps in terms of the future? Like, what's the next thing? Do you have like a 5, a 10-year plan? I know most people do that. Most people live by the seat of their pants, and they'll be like, oh, well, I'll just wait for the next day. What's the future for this brand going for you in terms of where you expect it to go?
Well, like I said, when you start a brand, the most important thing to do is, as you said, you can't fly by the seat of your pants. You need a plan. And for a little bit, I myself, because I come from a custom car background, I didn't have any knowledge of fashion or apparel, none of it. So I kind of took lumps in the beginning. And then it took me time to build the right team. So you have a West Coast designer, an East Coast designer, a cut and stitch guy, trying to make everything domestically here, with the exception of some cut and stitch stuff, which has to be made overseas for it's not cost effective to make it here. As much as you'd like to keep it all made in the USA, it's a little hard these days. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I have different designers from different areas. And what is dope on the West Coast is not dope on the East Coast. So we have different flavors that we try to entangle. Like on the West Coast, we deal with my buddy Eli out there. He does the black label stuff for us. And then Kevin built our compression line. So for us, what I would like to do in the next several years, of course, is expand my black label, get back into doing some stuff for that, which is a little bit more dressy. So my 5-year plan is to be able to take my brand and have it where, if you're hanging out, you can wear Future Legend sweatpants, shorts, T-shirts, go to the gym, rock the compression line. And then when you're leaving and you're going out for the night, be able to wear a black label collection. So for myself, I know exactly how I want my brand. I know my brand's identity now, and I know what I need, and I have the right team behind me to actually get it done. Whereas in the earlys, like I said, it takes a little while to learn brand identity. It also takes a little while to see if you're going to last and if it makes sense for you to last. Because in apparel, from what I've learned now, most people don't really truly make money until they've merged with another company or sold out, went corporate. If they don't have the right structure. So you need to have the right structure and the right team behind you, because you're only as good as the guys you have behind you, working with you, designing, manufacturing. And it goes for everything. You know, everything that you do has to be, I mean, for me and my company, what I expect is quality, done right, professional, deliveries on time and prompt. So, I mean, We pay attention to all the details. And then, like I said, the reason why I even took over doing social media is because I wanted to be in touch with the people here, what the masses are saying. So if they're telling me they're digging a quality product, or they liked it but they didn't like this or that, or they didn't get it shipped in timely fashion. So, you know, I wanted to be on hands-on and be able to deal with all of that stuff and know the areas that I need to improve upon so I can have longevity and then put my 5-year plans into play. So,
Now, talk about expansion real quick. I'm sorry, and I just want to elaborate a little bit more on this. I mean, a lot of people fail to understand, when you do go into business for yourself, how time consuming, how exhausting, not only physically but mentally, can be. And, you know, you always talk about people always wanting to balance their lives and balance this and balance that. How do you do all of that type of stuff? With you, you said you have a team, but is it kind of in the way? Because at the end of the day, although you have one on the West Coast, one on the East Coast, and you're trying to expand into obviously your 5-year plan and what you plan on doing further with the brand, is the ultimate decision yours? It's like Vince McMahon. Everybody has these ideas, and they're going to throw it to you because you're going to have the final say. Is that kind of where it goes? And if it is, can you just speak about the tremendous amount of pressure it is, because you are now responsible for making those final decisions, if that's the case?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll have like the artists bring me something. I'll give them an idea. They'll bring it to life. But ultimately, it's what I want to put out there. If I'm not digging something they're doing, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like the color. I don't like the shading. I don't like this. I don't like the font or, you know. So, yeah, ultimately, you kind of live and die by the sword. I mean, but it's also good because you also don't want to entrust your baby in somebody else's hands, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't agree more.
Actually, I'm checking out the Black Label and, you know, great stuff on here, too. Obviously, you don't want to corner yourself where you're just an all-male demo. You have some products there for the females. How important is it to get the female aspect to hop on board to Future Legend?
See, for the female aspect, when I started, I had a little more items geared for them, but it's very hard, I mean, for me anyway, because women tend to match more than men. Guys could just run out in jeans and sweats and throw on, you know, a t-shirt. They don't always got to match their Jordans with their t-shirts or whatever, but women, it's a little bit harder for us. So we are lacking in that aspect, but that's something that is in our 5-year plan to strengthen that, because it is a weak point for my brand. But, you know, like I said, you know, you can't succeed unless you fail, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, obviously, though, Future...
I don't know about you guys, but I know when I go out, I can't speak for myself, I make sure I match tremendously. They don't call me the trendsetter for nothing. I can't just walk out there in a t-shirt, jeans, and some beat-up Jordans, guys. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, but definitely when you know, obviously the female market, it's a woman's world, man. They, you know, once you get that man, it's gonna be amazing. And you know, obviously your 5-year plan, you got your stuff together, man. Very impressed by the company, and really glad you could come on and talk about it, man. And listen, you know, there's you know, you got, you know, wrestlers and MMA guys, but you know. Think about the podcasters, man. Let's go right there, man. Let's get, you know, a little. I like the stickers, though. I'm gonna get a sticker to put on the on our laptops too to do that, though. But man, great stuff, man. Future,
we gotta promote, man. Definitely.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yep. So, what do you have on the horizon? And you know, just talk about, you know, what we have coming up in the next couple of months or anything like that.
Like I said, I've been super blessed. I mean, like, I think this week is Bound for Glory with Impact. I mean, when I got good friends, and I mean really, really, like, I can't even say friends, like brothers, like Moose, Eddie Edwards wears our stuff religiously on TV, but this week's going to be exciting. Moose is always very dapper when he makes his ring entrance, but this week's going to be especially dope when he walks out wearing his new ring attire. So I'm looking forward to actually seeing that on the weekend. But I believe we're doing WrestleCade in North Carolina.
Hey, that's a huge event
right after Thanksgiving weekend. Mm-hmm. I think we're geared to do WrestleCon in Tampa. So we got a busy next couple months. So we're definitely preparing. So when we do WrestleCon and WrestleCade, we have some new product that we'll unveil there. But yeah, we definitely got a bunch of things working on. I mean, we're always doing something. We're always trying to clean up the site, add new product to it. We're going to be retiring a couple classic colorways and adding a couple new color waves in the next couple months. So that's set to come out in January. But definitely a lot of good stuff happening for our brand. I'm actually excited and optimistic for what 2020 holds for us.
Future, I got to ask you, man, how are you able to keep your composure? Because everything you're telling me right now, and you can't obviously see me, but I'm actually getting excited for you, and
yeah,
I can barely contain myself. How are you keeping it together, man? Because you talk about all the things you got to do and all the things you're going to right now. You're talking about WrestleCade and then WrestleCon. Oh, my goodness. My mind would be racing a million miles a minute. How are you keeping it so together, bro?
You know, for me itself, it's always so dope and exciting and surreal. Like I... one of my good buddies was just on tour, Robert from the rock band Escape the Fate. Like, Robert wears our stuff on. It never gets old for me, man. Like, I was just there like a couple weeks ago, and he's performing, like, you're on backstage, and like, he comes out wearing your shit. Like, I still get goosebumps. So I might sound like I got my composure now, but it's always like fucking dope and surreal. Or I could be sitting home and watch somebody walk out, be it boxing or wrestling or MMA. It never gets old and tiresome for me. So, you know, I got to say, like, I'm just overwhelmed and super blessed by the success of the brand.
Tell you one thing, Jeff. He's going to be overwhelmed with lack of sleep. That's what's going to happen.
He is Future Legend. You can follow him on Twitter at Future Legend CEO. You can go to the website, buy the amazing merchandise and apparel, futurelegend.com, on their Instagram, Future Legend Apparel, and follow them, their apparel, on Twitter at One Future Legend. Future, thank you so much for joining us on the High Spot Podcast. Hope to have you on again soon.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on.
And that was Future Legend. Check out their website, futurelegend.com. Great apparel. Like I said, you know, by looking at that website, you just basically want to give them their money. It's stuff that's, it makes sense to wear, if that makes any sense what I'm saying here. Because, you know, the apparel can be worn all year round. It's not like a seasonal thing where, like, oh, here's your winter line, here's your summer line, here's your spring line. It's stuff you can wear all year round. And, you will not be disappointed, is what I can safely say with 100% confidence. Because something what you've listened to during the interview that you'll know very quickly is it's about quality than quantity. I am a firm believer in that sometimes, although I'll admit sometimes I get in my own way where I want a lot of, you know, quantity out there. But, you know, it's the quality of what you do. And, you know, he's somebody who definitely pays attention to that. He's very detailed. He focuses on that type of stuff. And, you know, it shows. It definitely shows in everything he does. And one thing that I've always taken pride in, along with Jeff here, is that we've been very fortunate, Jeff and I, and we don't say that a lot sometimes, depending on, you know, how life goes sometimes. But, you know, we've been very fortunate that whenever, and I only speak for myself here, I've been in a funk. But I would never bring it into the show because I love doing the show with Jeff. You have a guest, and they remind you basically of why you're doing this for. And having Future on is definitely another great example of somebody who, you know, knows what the grind is like, accepts it, is not willing to fold underneath it, and is passionate about what he does and loves what he does. And, you know, if we ever had a message that's universal, and every single person we've had on there, whether it be promoters, talent, and people we've had on that we feel are huge impacts to the show, and we combine wrestling with them, it's always been the same thing. Passion, doing what you love, not working necessarily always for the paycheck. So that's what I get. Can't wait to have him on the show again, you know, down the road, you know, hopefully sooner than later. So looking forward to that 100%. And, man, time flies, guys. And before we wrap up the show, and again, thanks to Future Legend. Again, make sure you catch him on all his social media. Catch him on Twitter at @1 Future Legend, and also on Instagram, Future Legend Apparel. Definitely check it out. Give him a follow. Give him a like. That's definitely goes a long way in terms of him marketing himself. We want him to achieve nothing but the ultimate success, as we're on that pathway ourselves too. You know, before we close out anything here, you know, I want to touch base a little bit on what's going on with Saudi Arabia and the whole crown jewel. Now, I didn't watch the whole event. I don't think it's a big shock that I didn't, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't. But this whole thing has gotten ugly between the WWE and Saudi Arabia. Now, I know they signed up with an extension, but in terms of ugly, and we all know what happened with the plane delays, and they're held in Saudi Arabia, a good portion of the talent. It just makes me think, you know, money talks, obviously, right? And I'll be the first one to admit that, you know, as the old saying goes with the $1 million man, everybody has a price, right? But I wonder at what point will the talent not want to do this anymore? Had several talent throughout the years they've been doing this, and I think this is the third time they've done it, where some talent just doesn't want to go, you know, and that's, you know, it's their right if they don't want to go or not. Similar to when, you know, they didn't want to go to Afghanistan or go to those areas because they just didn't want to. though. I mean, the schedule they have is grueling and hectic as it is, to fly all the way to Saudi Arabia for that night or two and then fly all the way back is grueling. It's a grueling flight from what I've heard. And now it's like you have all these issues that are just becoming so much more of obstacles for WWE. And WWE, again, you know, signing an extension makes me think, if I'm a talent, how am I taking that? Like, I'm looking at myself like, well, that's an event on my calendar that I'm going to mark off. So what happens when you reach the point where a good portion of your roster no longer wants to go? Because you can't force them to go. So we'll find out. But again, it's just an ugly mess, in my opinion, that yeah, sometimes the money isn't worth it, guys. It really isn't. And if you're WWE, you're putting yourself in a pretty, you're in a pretty awkward position here, that who knows if that might happen. I doubt it, but it might. So we'll see. As for the card, guys, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't one that I was looking at. Maybe if I looked at the last Crown Jewel, yeah, there was more like headliners there or like nostalgia acts where you're like, oh, wow, this would be kind of cool to see type of thing. But I'm pretty sure a lot of people were looking forward to the Lesnar, Cain Velasquez thing. A lot of people were shocked of the ending. I wasn't necessarily shocked at the ending that Brock was going to go over, but I was kind of interested and kind of scratched my head a little bit at the end of it. Didn't look good. I've seen Cain Velasquez and shows Jeff and other promotions and thought he did really well. So that's why we were kind of excited for this. But how he worked with Brock was just kind of sloppy. I'll admit lackadaisical in a way. And I'm sure a lot of people will be angry. Like, oh, you're not a performer. How do you know? You're not in the ring. I get it, guys. I'm not trying to be critical of it. I'm just trying to state what I saw. And my opinion on it is that it just didn't look very good. It didn't look like the timing was right. And granted, they've never worked together. It's their first one. And this is, you know, Cain Velasquez's first WrestleMania event, live event at Crown Jewel. A lot of pressure there. So did it live up to the billing? Absolutely not. Did it get the message across? Yes, but now it's led into a storyline with Rey Mysterio. Makes you question now what's next for Cain Velasquez. You know, I guess we'll find out because I don't think this is the last we'll see of him. But it leads up now to Rey Mysterio Jr. trying to exact revenge on Brock Lesnar and trying to take the WWE Championship away from him. So that's going to happen at Survivor Series. As for the rest of the card, I mean, the only last notable thing that I could talk about that was pretty cool and pretty special would be the first ever women's match. And it was with Natalya and Lacey Evans. And huge respect and round of applause deserves for those two. And, you know, Natty has been with the company for quite a long time for, you know, and to be part of a first, which, you know, I've gone on the record saying a lot now, especially in this industry, there aren't many firsts that are left to be done now, but this is definitely one of them. So huge, huge feat, huge accomplishment for not just Natalya and Lacey Evans, but for women in general, the whole women's movement, the women's revolution, whatever you want to call it, has been very successful. And now it's kind of working its way across to, you know, a place like Saudi Arabia where you never thought you would see that. So it's definitely emotional and pretty cool to watch. And, you know, it just showcases too that, you know, you keep working, building towards something, setting goals, and barriers can be broken. And that was definitely an example of one. So congratulations on the WWE. Congratulations on those two amazing ladies. But congratulations to all the women, not just in the WWE, but the women all over, whether they're working in AEW, whether they're working in MLW or Impact or across the Indies or across the world, have worked their butts off. Sorry, I couldn't phrase it nicer than that, but have worked really hard to break down that barrier. And I think collectively, it's not just two women. Those two women were representing this whole situation of the end result of all the hard work that everybody's put across to make sure that that barrier is broken and that women are looked at the same level as men. And at the same time, too, you know, when you look at it, can have same great high quality matches. So it's great to see. And really exciting and happy for those two lovely ladies and for the WWE for a pretty historic mark on that end right there. So that's my 2 cents on Crown Jewel, Saudi Arabia. I'm sure I'll talk a little bit more in depth about it, certain things that maybe Jeff wants to bring up next week. We'll see. But guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I've always enjoyed talking to you guys, and you know, you guys listen to me ramble on and on. Hopefully I've done better. I'm not rambling in terms of just not talking utter nonsense like I usually do, but I kind of keep it to a small pace because, you know, of course, I have Jeff to feed off of. But guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the High Spot Podcast. We'll be back next week. And guys, don't forget, you guys can catch us on Instagram and Twitter at High Spot Podcast, all one word. Also, check out all our shenanigans on our website, highspotpodcast.com. You can check us out on bodyslams.net. You can listen to this episode. You can listen to the High Spot Podcast. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeart, where all great podcasts are available, guys. Check it out. We will be there. And also, you can check out our YouTube series. Forgot to mention that in the beginning of the episode on YouTube. Just type in the word High Spot Podcast in that browser. Click it. Give us a like. Give us a subscribe. We really appreciate it. We have all the videos that we take from all the events we go to, whether it be a WrestleCon, you know, AEW, All Out, Double or Nothing, and also the mini-series that I do, Adventures with the Trendsetter, where I cover the world of AVN, Exotica. I did Exotica this coming last month in October, so all videos are coming out very soon. So guys, definitely enjoy that. Like and show your support, because we love you guys, and we appreciate everything you guys do in terms of showing us support, showing us love. It is just fair for us to do the same thing for you guys, because we appreciate you guys and all that you do and all the support as well. Also, make sure you check out Pro Wrestling Tees and get yourself a shirt. Follow and be a member of the crew. Because with all that being said, and we'll catch you guys next week, you will remember very quickly and never forget that we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew.